right, I'll do a try the empty chair. We were at a conference over here in Texas where the brother preached on the empty chair, about 20 points, about the 19th point, my soul caught on fire. He kept saying, empty chair, the empty chair, the empty chair, the empty chair. So I got to try to think, and I'm going to try to weave that into a song about a man's life, all those points, and I permanently borrowed a couple of his points. I didn't steal them, I just permanently borrowed them. About the empty chair in the church where the backslider used to sit, left it all for the world, and the empty chair in the tavern where he sat, and he left it all when the Savior found him, an empty chair in the at the table where he sat for 50 years and left it all for heaven. And there was an empty chair in heaven where Jesus sat, but he left it all to go to Calvary. And there is an empty chair in heaven just for you. If you haven't made your preparations, you can go there or get your reservation tonight. Amen. An empty chair in a little church where we used to sit and hear the words of life, but he left it all to find fame and fortune, and he dreamed of seeing his name up in lights. Now his mama kneels and prays for him every night, and she hopes that someday soon her son will see the light. And there's an empty chair in a tavern where he used to sit and play his songs, but he left it all when the Savior found him. Now there's rejoicing in heaven 'cause he's coming home. Stop by and put some money in an old payphone. He said, hey mom, it's your prodigal son, I've been gone too long. And there's an empty chair at the table where for 50 years he sat most every night, but he left it all for a city where there's no death nor pain, and Jesus is the light, where the half has not been told turns into sight. And he longs for his family to take their flight. There was an empty chair up in heaven where Jesus sat at his Father's right hand, but he left it all to go to Calvary and to give his life a ransom for every man. And he ascended up on high to his throne again, where he became the door so we could enter in. There's an empty chair up in heaven waiting
just for you. You're invited to a wedding that's gonna be held soon. Though millions have made excuses why they cannot come, the question is, will you attend the wedding of God's Son? Have you made your preparations to go there? 'Cause waiting up in heaven just for you is an empty chair.
Preaching about how the false religions get their idols so huge that they break the back of the animals that carry them through the street because they think the bigger they are, the more they can do for them. But then he said, oh, we have a God so big he can carry us. And he said, he don't mind carrying you. Amen.
The shepherd left the 99 sheep in the fold because his heart was so heavy for the lamb lost in the cold. He searched through the wilderness and the valleys he did comb, found him tangled in the thorns. He lifted him with his strong arms, placed him on his shoulder, and rejoiced all the way home. He does not mind carrying you. There is no burden too heavy, no valley too deep for him to walk through. Search the highest mountain, cross the burning desert too, 'cause he does not mind carrying you. Jesus came down to earth many years ago just to give himself a ransom for the prisoners of the fold. He carried a heavy cross up to Calvary that day, paid sin's debt that I owed. He crushed the head of my strong foe, pulled me from the lion's mouth, and carried me safely away. Not mine carrying you. There is no burden too heavy, no valley too deep for him to walk through. He will search the highest mountain, cross the burning desert too, 'cause he does not mind carrying you.
Thank you, Brother LeBeau. Let's sing one more song. Give him a chance to catch his breath. Let's sing 483. 483, there is a river. Stand, everyone. What a great old song. Doing your best, 483, singing,
there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind. singing, there is a river that flows from deep within. There is a fountain that frees a soul from sin. Come to this water, there is a vast supply. Yes, sing, there is a river that never shall run dry.
Lift it on that second now.
There was a
be seated.
All right. Well, it's been our joy today to have Brother Kurt LeBeau and his dear wife with us all day long. And we had a great time of fun fellowship, eating lunch together today, just talking about the Lord, rejoicing over what God has done. Brother LeBeau is originally from Louisiana. Now, when I went out to look at their SUV, and I asked Mrs. LeBeau, I said, I need y'all to follow me where we're going to eat. I said, no, what I need to be looking for? She said, it's that SUV right there with a Georgia tag on it. Well, it had a Georgia tag, but it also had a University of Georgia logo on it. So that's all I saw. So we went to eat, and so we're coming out on the backside. There's an LSU logo. And I said, wait a minute. Which is which? She said, I'm Georgia, he's LSU. She said, at some point that LSU is going to fall off this SUV. But that's where Brother LeBeau is from. He might share a little bit about his testimony. Some of Brother LeBeau, we've got quite a few new folks here at our church. And so if you want to share a little bit about that, let you folks know how he got into the ministry. And he has a connection in ministry with Dr. Smith. And he may share that with you. But I've thoroughly enjoyed Brother and Mrs. LeBeau being with us. They'll be leaving here first thing in the morning, heading to Nashville. He's got to do some in-studio preparations. He's working on a new CD. And so they're heading to Nashville to take care of some of those items. And then I think he's going to be preaching in a conference there as well. So you pray for them as they head out to Nashville. Brother LeBeau, God bless you, my brother, and thank you for being here with us today at Trinity Baptist.
Welcome. God bless you. All right. You have your Bibles, Matthew chapter 6. Sir, it's good to be with you. It's one of our favorite places to go in this world. this church, all of our friends, and Brother Smith has a deep place in our heart. We were in Louisiana, lost Catholic, and school for the blind, and singing secular music. And my brother got saved at a summer camp, and he started going to church, Central Baptist Church, amen. And first gospel preacher I heard, they asked us to come, invited us for a Sunday, and first gospel preacher I heard was Brother Bob Smith, amen. And in a small world, and heard the gospel there, got saved, and then had no idea God would call me to preach into evangelism, and back met up with Brother Bob again, amen. What a blessing. But people ask how I lost my eyesight, and lost my eyesight eating pork and beans. I strained my eyes looking for the pork. So now you have my testimony. All right. Matthew 6:22, two verses that look like they don't go in the middle of this chapter. We'll try to unravel it. Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Verse 23, but if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, your love, your mercy, and your sweet fellowship that we've had today with your people. And Father, we pray tonight that you'd break the bread, the word of God open to our hearts, and feed us with manna from on high. Fill us now with your spirit. Help us to step out of the way. Let you do the preaching. Fill us and flow through us, and bless every listener with the power of the Holy Spirit to understand wonderful and mighty things out of thy law. And Father, we'll give you the glory. If there's one saved or lost, I pray you'd save them tonight and do your work in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Sometimes right in the middle of a chapter, you'll find a couple of verses that don't look like they go there, but sometimes that's the verse that unlocks the whole chapter or unravels the package. Amen. And here you find Jesus is talking about light and how it affects us spiritually. The light, the spiritual light, not only the physical light, but the spiritual light. And a friend of mine told me this several years ago, how he was raised in Fairbanks, Alaska, and his favorite thing to do as a teenager, get this, teenagers, his favorite thing to do in Fairbanks, Alaska, was go down in the wintertime, he'd go down to the airport and watch him put all the people that had lost their sanity from not having enough light. The sunlight would balance the chemicals in the brain, and they would not have enough sunlight to balance their chemicals in their brain and all that type of thing, so they would lose their minds. And he said, my favorite thing to do was to go down to the airport and watch them put them in straitjackets and fly them down to the mental hospital in Seattle. I said, man, you are a weird dude, amen? That was his favorite thing to do. And because there was not enough sunlight, the darkness affected them. And Jesus is saying, if your spiritual focus is not right, it'll affect you. Amen. It'll affect you. When we were kids back years and years ago, before they had electricity and batteries, amen, they had this little toy, and none of the kids this generation will be able to identify with this, but most of you will. They had what they called a Viewmaster. There's a lot of yeses, so that means there's a lot of old people here. And if you focused that little Viewmaster, if you ever got it lined up with the light, your whole world would come to life. Amen? All the pictures and all the things and the colors would come to light. But if you didn't get it focused on the light, all it was darkness. Amen? And Jesus is saying, if your eye is single, if it's focused on the right thing, if the eye is focused on the right thing, you'll have light. And then he challenges us. He gives us the test in this chapter. He gives us the test. Are you focusing on man's rewards are God's rewards. Amen. In the first 18 verses, I'll read just verse 1 to get us started. I'm not going to read all 18 verses, don't worry. But he talks about man's rewards. He said there's certain things that if you do in secret, God will see them openly, or see them and reward you openly. But if you do them to be seen of man, that then you're, he said, you have your reward. Verse 1, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of men. Otherwise, ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Now he talks about some things about giving in the next few verses. Giving and praying and fasting. Amen. Three things that get God's attention when you start giving your alms in secret. And I'll go back to the Old Testament and give you some illustrations. There was a lady in the Old Testament that Elijah was sent to, a little widow lady, and the famine was so bad, she was so poor, she said when he got there to feed her, or she was supposed to sustain him. This is the lady that God said, this lady's going to sustain you. He goes there. She said, the famine is so bad, my son is out. He's gathering 2 sticks, and we're going to eat our last cake and die, last handful of meal and die. That's how bad the famine is. And Elijah said, make me a cake first. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. He said, make me a cake first. Here's a lady that's about to die, and he has the audacity to say, make me a cake first. Amen. To see if she would give or not. And while you're at it, could you bring me something to drink? Amen. Somebody said, well, in America, we just do not let people eat cake for breakfast. We won't let our kids. One lady said, you're not getting any cake for breakfast, young man. And he said, okay, what are we having? She said, you're having fried pancakes with syrup all over it. Amen. But anyway, back to the story. Bring me a cake first. And while you're at it, bring me something to drink. And when she obeys, she gives, God begins to reward her openly. Amen. God began to reward her and put meal. I believe he sent an angel every night to put meal in her barrel and oil in her cruse, and she never ran out of food because she started giving. Amen. She began to be a channel of blessing, and there was great joy. Instead of, she was facing death, now she's facing joy. She is filled with joy and laughter and peace because she began to give. She focused on God's rewards instead of man's rewards. And when you give, that's why the poorest people in the church many times are the ones that learn to be the greatest givers. In the New Testament, that's what happened. The poorest church in Macedonia, I believe it was, because of their poverty, their great poverty, they began to give, and God began to bless them with more grace and more grace and more joy and more blessings, and they became the greatest givers in the New Testament. The poorest, most poverty-stricken people learn to be the greatest givers because they find when they obey God, they get so much joy and so much peace and so much blessings, they want to give more. Amen? They want to give more. A friend of mine said his church was one Sunday morning, all the people, the people with the money walked out. He said, man to himself, he said, it's over. The church just split. It's over. And he said, he was thinking that in his mind. We'll never be able to pay our bills. And this, the poorest lady in the church, he said, the poorest lady in the church came up and said, preacher, I just inherited $600,000. Is it okay if I tithe on it? And the next Sunday, God sent a multimillionaire into his church, and families began to come in. And he said, we never missed a bill. He found out that God is faithful. Amen. And God, when you give in secret, God rewards you openly. When you pray in secret, God rewards you openly. We'll go tell a story that I just heard recently, that over in Germany, on the communist side of Berlin, they got tired of the oppression and they began to pray. Back in 1989, they started in St. Nicholas Cathedral. They started a prayer meeting in a little room. They said, every day we're going to pray till God gives us revival. And the prayer meeting grew to a bigger room. They had to go to a bigger room. Finally, out into the 2,000-seat auditorium, and the communists got mad and angry, and they started throwing them in jail. and they cut off the Audubon exits that came closest to that church. And they thought, we're going to stop this, but they kept praying. 2,000 people on the inside, and finally it grew to 10,000 people standing on the outside of that church. They just kept praying, God, we need revival. God, we're tired of this oppression. God, we need revival. And that is when communism crumbled. Amen. In 1989, it crumbled because of that prayer meeting. We often wonder why. Why? We know it crumbled and the wall came down, but it was because somebody prayed and God rewarded them openly. Amen. If there's anything America needs today, it's prayer. We've got to get back to some old-fashioned prayer meetings before we adopt communism here. Amen. Then fasting. Esther, in the Old Testament, Esther knew that Haman had gotten the king. He had secretly gotten the king, deceitfully gotten the king to sign a decree to slay all the Jewish people in that nation. Every Jewish person was about to be slain. The decree was already signed, and Esther said, fast and pray, and all the Jewish people began to fast and pray for 3 days, and Esther went before the king and got this decree reversed, and Haman was hanged, and the people of Israel were free, and there was great rejoicing in the land because they focused on God's rewards. Amen? Focusing on God's rewards. Are you focused on God's rewards or men's rewards? Then are you focused on mounting up treasures in heaven, or mounting up treasures on earth, or laying up treasures in heaven? Matthew 6:19, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. We just had a dear friend of ours had saved and collected and bought and put on layaway ever since she was a teenager, jewelry. Amen. And in her retirement age, somebody broke in and stole all of her jewelry. But thank God they got that person in jail and she got her jewelry back. Amen. But the Bible says, if you have treasure on earth, beware. Somebody's going to try to steal it. Amen. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Amen. I'm going to read one more verse in Hebrews 11. You don't have to turn there, about Moses. Hebrews 11:26 says, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Here you find God is saying, are you focused on the earthly treasures or heavenly treasures? Mounting up treasures on earth or laying up treasures in heaven? Amen. A friend of ours was over in New York City, on a Baptist tour, and this old guy from North Carolina was up there, and he was passing out tracts talking like this, rah, rah. And he said to this little Jewish lady, in New York, they think of everything in dollar signs. Anything you say, it goes through their mind, comes out in dollars and cents. Amen. Investing and saving is all they talk about up there. Investing and saving. He handed this little Jewish lady a tract and said, Jesus saves. And she said, yeah, but Moses invest. Moses did invest. Amen. He invested in heavenly treasure, heavenly trophies. You can lose your trophies down here on earth. Muhammad Ali lost his Olympic medal, his gold medal. He lost that medal. O.J. Simpson lost his Heisman trophy. Mike Tyson lost his license to box. Evander Holyfield lost his ear. Amen. Most of you were here in those days. Amen. You can lose your rewards and your trophies and your Grammys. If you're a songwriter, you think of, it's vain, but you think of winning some kind of award or recognition or a Grammy sometime. It just goes through your head. Amen. If you're a golfer, you dream of beating Tiger Woods. Not like his wife beats him. If you're some of the way you drive, I know you're dreaming about winning a NASCAR trophy. Amen? And you could win all those trophies on earth, but they'll all be vain compared to this day. They'll all be vain compared to the day we stand in heaven and get our crowns and our trophies. Amen? Are you laying up any treasures in heaven? are you laying up? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure going? Where's your, look in your checkbook, it'll tell you where your treasure are, where your heart is, because that's where you write most of those checks to, is where your heart is. Some of you, we know it's Walmart. Amen. But are you mounting up treasures? Where's your focus? Is it mounting up treasures? Is it man's rewards? Matthew 6, 24, another test he gives us. He gives us, are you focused on the master's service or serving money? Matthew 6, 24, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The word mammon means money. Amen. We were in this church the other day, a friend of ours up in North Carolina, pastor in a church, and this man had given, he'd come into some inheritance and he'd given or bought these huge paintings and put them downstairs in the hallway. And we were walking down through this hall, and my wife and the pastor were looking at these paintings and saying, wow, and just oohing and aahing over these huge paintings. And they came, both came to the last or the Lord's Supper, and they both stopped and said, man, that one looks real. And me and my sarcastic personality, sarcasm is the most funniest wit, but it gets you in all kinds of trouble, so I really have to watch my sarcasm, amen? But I said in my sarcastic brain, this is what jumped in my brain, well, can you tell which one is Judas? That's what came out of my sarcastic mouth. We were going to make fun of Judas a little while. Can you tell which one is Judas? And the pastor got up on his toes and was straining, and he got up real, his face close to the painting. He said, there he is. I said, how can you tell? He said, he's got the money bag. And you talk about the Holy Ghost, mighty rushing wind, sweeping down that hall right into my heart, saying, well, what's motivating your life? Amen. And I thought, man, if I cut my heart open right now and laid it out in front of everybody, what would be my motivating factor? Amen. We can say, boy, we can get to point our fingers at Hollywood and Nashville and L.A. and say, boy, all those singers and musicians and all those people are vain. They're living for money. But what are we living for? We can get just as vain as we can go through the motions. Judas went through the motions. He walked with Jesus. He was a fundamentalist. Amen? He had a fundamental haircut. And all the clothes. And all followed, walked with Jesus. Had all the motions down, but his heart was terribly corrupt. Amen? He had all the motions down to follow Jesus. But what about it? We were out in Phoenix the other day. We were in Flagstaff about 2 years ago, and nobody had suits on, and they would come up and feel our suits and say, y'all must be from out east. That's a beautiful suit. And they acted like they'd never seen a suit before. And we went to this church a couple weeks ago in Phoenix, and they all had suits on. My wife said, all these men have suits on. This is different from the other church. I said, good, they're fundamentalist. And then it dawned on me, you can have a suit on and not be right in your heart. Amen, I've got a fundamental haircut. But I can be just as backslid as can be. Being a preacher, I can be backslid. Amen? I can be backslid. What about your heart? Judas had all the right. Everything was right. But two contrasting verses. The root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. But the greatest commandment is, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Where is our heart? Where is your heart? Amen? Is it in the ministry? The preacher mentioned this morning, you've lost, he sees the faces that have lost the joy. It starts in the heart. Starts on the focus. Where is your focus? Is it serving the master or serving money? Where is your focus? He wants your heart. He doesn't want just your lip service. He doesn't just want your actions and you to come to church and dress right, look right, though you ought to. He wants to know where your heart is. Amen? He wants to know where your heart is. And last of all, are you focused on the miracle provision of God, the miraculous provision of God, or on the morrow? Listen to these verses, Matthew 6:31. Therefore, he tells us, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Everything the world is looking for, God says, I'll give it to you if you'll seek me first, if you'll build my house. Haggai said, if you'll build the house of God, he'll build your house. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Take no thought for food, drink, clothing, and tomorrow. Amen. What are you thinking about right now? Is it tomorrow? We're in the Barney Fife mode. What are we going to do? Amen. What are we going to do tomorrow? We're scared about tomorrow. We're worried about tomorrow. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Take no thought. And then he tells us about the verses before this. He tells us about his love for us. It's loving care. He talks about the birds. He said, if God can feed the birds of the air, how much more important are you? The richest man in the world could not feed the birds of this world for one day. He would go broke. My wife likes to watch birds. The other day there was these sparrows, a bunch of sparrows fighting over one French fry. Funny. Amen? And that sounds like Baptist. Then he talks about the grass. He said, if I can clothe the grass with the lilies that are in the Middle East, they say the lilies are blood red. They're beautiful. And he said, if I can clothe the grass with these lilies and have more beauty and more splendor than Solomon in all his glory, how much more important are you? God clothes his children. Amen. He said, I can take care of your clothes, and I can take care of your finances, and I can take care of your food, and I can take care of all this if you'll seek me first. Amen. Seek me first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Are you living for temporal things or eternal things? Are you living for those crowns, doing those things that'll get you some real rewards? Amen. We were at they had this benefit singing. Our church has been friends with Good Samaritan Missions down in Honduras. That man is from our county, Brother Ed Tyson. I think it's Ed Tyson. Last name Tyson. He died several years ago. His wife is 80 years old, but the ministry goes on. They feed thousands upon thousands upon thousands of kids every day down in Honduras. And they had the singing group from down there, from Honduras, and they had a gospel trio. It was a benefit singing for that ministry because of the churches are having financial hard times in America, and they needed a little extra. But there were some great singers there, and we were all thinking, man, we were pulling for the best singer, just unbelievable singers. We were saying, man, he's got to be the best singer I've ever heard. Then all of a sudden, this little 80-year-old lady gets up, and she starts telling how 40 years ago, her and her husband went to Honduras, and the people, to treat them like a king, to give them, they rolled out the red carpet. This is the best they could do. They got up all the money they could, and they bought them 2 cold tortillas, 1 can of sardines, and 2 hot Pepsis. And that was the red carpet treatment. And there was a little girl who had no clothes, just had her undergarments on. Little girl across, sitting under a tree with no clothes, no shoes, looked at them eating that food, and she was peeling a green orange or a green grapefruit, looking at them. And it was as though she was saying, if y'all are God's servants, how come I'm starving to death? And the little girl died not long after that. But God began to speak to her, that lady, the missionary lady, and said, I want you to feed these kids. And there's a a voice on the other shoulder said, you can't feed a million, millions and millions of kids. And the voice said, yeah, but you can feed one. And she started that ministry. And they get come to America and get the people to support one child. And that child, for $30 a month, will go be able to go to school. They'll put them through school. They'll clothe them. They'll feed them. They'll give them medical supplies, Bibles, Christian schooling. And now there's feed. They call them feed centers, I think, all over Honduras, where they feed those kids every day. They get them Bibles. They have, many of them are doctors and lawyers and preachers. There's hundreds and hundreds of churches that have been started by those little children that have grown up and got called to preach. And God showed me the difference in a little vain singing group that's trying to get a few trophies here on earth, to a lady that's going to have thousands upon thousands upon thousands of trophies laid up in heaven. Amen. Are you doing anything for eternity? Eternal things. Amen. Is your focus on eternal things? I'll close with this. We had a friend of ours. He was a missionary, and he said he'd be riding down the road to his next meeting and worrying about the bills. How are we going to get to the next meeting? How are we going to pay our bills? And he would be worrying, and his little girls in the back seat, sitting in their car seats in the back seat, would say, Daddy, watch them birds. And he said, all of a sudden, I'd look up and start watching the birds. Driving down the road, watching the birds, and he said, I'd get my mind on the one that feeds the birds. Then I'd realize, hey, he's able to feed me. Amen. Where's your focus? If you'll get your focus on the light, you'll find joy, happiness. Are you focused on men? Are you focused on the Master? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness, your love, your mercy. Help us to focus on you and serving you and loving you and doing things for eternal trophies, Father. In Jesus' name.
Let's bow our heads together. Thank you, Brother LeBeau, for getting us focused on the main thing tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe there might be one here tonight. Say, Preacher, I don't know for sure that heaven's my home. I cannot honestly say that I've been born into the family of God. I need prayer. Would you pray for me? I cannot honestly say that heaven's my home. I want to go to heaven, but I cannot honestly say if I died tonight that heaven's my home. But you let me pray for you. Nobody's looking around. Would you slip your hand up? Say, Preacher, that's me. That's me. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. Say, Preacher, that's me.